pick up again in our stewardship series this morning entitled Call to Live Upside Down. This is the second sermon in the series, and it is entitled The Seeing Are Blind. There are two scripture readings, the first from the Gospel of Matthew and then turning to the Gospel of John. But let us first give our attention to the reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even that which they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen but never understand, and you will indeed look but never perceive.' For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing. And they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn. And I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And then the second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John in chapter 9. It is the story of the healing of the man who was born blind. I begin in chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus was walking, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud, and with the saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am he." But they kept asking him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." Now, there's a number of verses before I pick up again in verse 35 where the Jews question this man who was blind from birth and has been healed and can now see. They question his parents, who were very smart in the way they answered the Pharisees, because they said, "Do not ask us, ask our son, he is an adult." Well, they question the man several times, and after their interrogation and that of his parents, finally, they excommunicate the young man. And we pick up at verse 35. Jesus heard that they had driven him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." Here ends the reading. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord, the grass fades, the flower withers, but your word stands forever. And now may these ancient words of yours ring true, for they are relevant any day and time. Help us, O Lord, that we might hear, and give us eyes that we might truly see. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I remember as a little boy, I would sometimes stand on my head and look upside down. Now, I don't think I was a weird kid, but maybe so. Perhaps you have done something like this. I always used a pillow because my mother's tile floor was very hard. And I noticed that when you do this, when you stand on your head and look at people upside down, they look very different. Especially their mouths when they speak. An upside down mouth looks really awkward. Well, if you did this like me, you would have experienced the fact that the way you look at something can change the way you perceive it. Jesus saw things a lot differently than we do. He saw things differently than we normally see them. And he often used paradox. He would often turn things upside down in his parables to make a point, to help us see his truth. And looking at things upside down, we can do that. Jesus said, for example, our endings in life, in this life, are really our beginnings. And that some weak people are actually the strongest people we can ever know. He said that apparently, and we'll look at this in the coming week, that the foolish people can really be rather wise. And last week, we started our stewardship series called Living Upside Down. We pointed out how the proud are very often brought down, and that those who are humbled, those who are humble, are often those who were lifted up and exalted. And today, Jesus tells us, the blind see, and the seeing ones are blind. It is one of Jesus' most common expressions. You have eyes, but you cannot see. You know there's beauty all around us. And there is also suffering. There is ugliness in our world. And oftentimes our eyes turn and refuse to see that. There are people in this world that we see through and do not see. There is also God's presence among us to which many ignore. There are spiritual truths that exist that many turn a blind eye to. I want to look at some of these spiritual truths this morning. First, even though we may have 20/20 vision, we are blind so very often to the world around us. Have you ever noticed that? This is the basic blindness of us as sighted folks. And this is why we need in our world people like poets and painters and sculptors and creative photographers who restore us to our ability to see beauty and to see things anew. Sometimes I've done this to myself. I catch myself saying, until now, I never noticed how beautiful this view was, or how wonderful this looked in a certain light, or how beautiful this older person was. How much we take for granted. This past week, in my left eye, I had secondary cataract surgery. Doesn't that sound fun? And for months, I have been looking through this eye, and it has been blurry. My wife, Joyce, stopped riding with me in the car. And I wondered why. It was time for the surgery. It was so frustrating not to see fully. And after the surgery, I was again amazed at how old I've become when I look in a mirror. But sight, it's a gift, isn't it? It really is a gift to be able to see, and I am grateful. I am grateful to be able to see again. And the surgery, you know, after the surgery, for the last several days, I have been playing this game where I keep my eyes closed for a few minutes, and then I'll pop them open and look at things anew. Look at the color of things, to look at the clouds, the sunset, to look up at the stars, to look at cars and people and see all the shapes and beauty. I would suggest that you do this exercise this morning, but if you did that, I'm afraid I wouldn't get some of you back. It reminds me of Helen Keller. I am so amazed by her. She was such a remarkable woman. She was born sighted, but early on had an illness and became blind. She also could not hear. And she once was asked, if she was given 3 more days to see, 3 days to see, what would she do? And her answer is a witness to the true meaning of life. On the first day, she said, I would want to see the people whose kindness and companionship have made my life worth living. I would call in my friends, and for a long time, I would just look at their faces. I would want to see the face of a newborn baby. I would like to see the many books that people have kindly and patiently read to me. The next day, I would get up early to see the sunrise. I would visit a museum to see the progress of humanity and how things have been made over the years. I would go to an art museum and probe the human soul by studying sculptures and paintings. On the third morning, I would again greet the dawn and see the sunrise, eager to discover the new beauties of nature. And I would spend the last day at a busy street corner, trying hard to understand something of the daily lives of persons by looking into their faces and reading what is written there as they go on their way. On the final evening, she writes, I would go to a theater and see a hilariously funny play to appreciate the humor of the human spirit. And yes, by God's light in Christ, I would want to see what matters, you see, by beholding the extraordinary in the commonplace. Here on an average Sunday, I suspect there are people often that are bored with life or bored with their own lives. Perhaps there are others who are here some Sundays who are sorry for themselves because of something that has happened or something that has been done to them. Still, there may be others here who come with a negative spirit, a spirit that has been dulled too much by the business of life or the busyness of it. I remember being told in seminary that every time you preach, remember, there is always someone present with a broken heart. And I believe that. Well, no matter how you feel, why not spend the next 3 days as if it were the last days that you would ever see? And then I believe you'd see what matters if you did that. Because you would look for the extraordinary in the commonplace. Perhaps you might see such moments as gifts that perhaps have been invisible to you in the past, those moments. Or secondly, look at the blindness, our blindness, to those who are hurt and to those who are in need. We have that kind of blindness. The story goes there was a man who took the train into work every day into Manhattan. On the outskirts of that city, there was a rundown, unsightly part of town. It was an ugly part of town. And just before the train would go through that area, the man would reach over and pull down the window of his seat on that train. We ought to be careful. We ought to be careful what we choose to see and not see. And just because we pretend it's not there, remember that it is. And that was the problem in this story with the Pharisees. Jesus had cured the young man who had been blind from birth, reduced to a beggar in the streets. What an awful sight that is. And this man had never seen the light of day. And then he encountered Jesus. And what a day that was. But the Pharisees, what did they do in the story? They complained. Jesus, you cured him on a Sabbath. They couldn't celebrate the man. They persecuted Jesus and they interrogated the man. Instead of compassion, they spent time investigating who this Jesus was and what had happened. They badgered that young man and his parents. And during the Pharisees' questioning, if you read the story carefully, he began to say about Jesus, "There is a lot I don't know about Jesus, but one thing I do know, once I was blind, and now I can see." And Jesus said to the Pharisees in that encounter, "You think you can see, but you are blind." May we never have that blindness. As Christ people, may we always be open to see the need and to see the hurt. As difficult as it can be, let us be able to do that. Well, third, note with me that many people are also blind to the spiritual dimension of life. If they see it all, it is often only the physical world. Take, for example, Nadine Hammons. Now, you don't know Nadine Hammons, but she's someone that preachers look up to. A few years ago, at 66 years of age, she received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the American Bible Society. And yes, a preacher would know that. Do you know why she received the Lifetime Achievement Award by the American Bible Society? Because she memorized the New Testament, all of it. That night in which she received the award, she said, "Go ahead," she said to the audience, "test me." And they began to do it. They began to ask her to recite odd chapters and verses from the Bible. Nothing easy, no John 3:16s. And each time she did it, as difficult as a passage it might be, she would quote it word for word and with ease. One person at the end of that performance said, "Nadine, that was pretty good." And another shouted in response, "It wasn't pretty good, it was amazing." And it was amazing. But here's something that may surprise you. Nadine Hammons is blind. Someone asked her at the ceremony, "Are you resentful for the fact that you have never been able to see?" "Oh my goodness, no," she said. "I wish I could see. I wish I could see the sunset. I wish I could see the ocean. I wish I could see the stars. But here's what I've learned over the years. You don't focus on what you don't have. I'd love to have those things, don't get me wrong, but I don't focus on them. Instead, I think of what I do have, a sharp mind and a good memory. I can study the Bible in Braille every day, and at a moment's notice, I can call up that passage that I need or that passage that I want. It's a gift from God," said Nadine. Now, Nadine's brother, he is a portrait painter. And when he painted a portrait of his sister, he painted her with beautiful eyes wide open. And when they asked him why he did that, he said, "Because my sister sees more than most people will ever see in a lifetime." Ah, the spiritual dimension of life is what Nadine sees and offers to us to see. There is a spiritual sightedness that needs to be awakened in people. And if we are honest, that also includes us as we think about stewardship season and our giving for the coming year and what will be our commitment. I can tell you, post-pandemic, the need will be great. We will be challenged as a church to rise to what we are used to being and what God calls us to be. We will need to be patient with ourselves. God is patient with us already. But I pray that we learn how to see spiritually during this stewardship season. You see, if we teach our children about the value of making a dollar, but do not offer them a spiritual view of the world, then we will become like noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. The presence of God in life is something to embrace and to teach our children the importance of prayer, to have a sense of God's leading, of God's guidance throughout your life, to trust in the life to come through the grace of God. Many are blind to these. And this was the very thing that amazed Jesus' followers and that amazed Jesus. Not that the average folks were often blind, but that the religious people were blind too. There was Jesus right in front of them, and they were stone blind. And this poor man, blind from birth, he not only got his sight back, but he saw spiritually. And how does that happen? How does that happen? It begins and ends, my friends, with Jesus Christ. Oh, there are a lot of self-help experts. There are organizations even in this town that will try to recruit you. They even have worship, I'm told. They have songs and jingles, and other groups have slogans. And some self-help groups even remember Bible verses. There are many who have a vague idea that God is up there somewhere, somehow, and many of them even know the golden rule. I think many people nowadays have sort of a cafeteria plan about their faith, where you can take a dab of this and a spoonful of that. And then what you don't like and don't agree with, you can just push away and say, "This is what I believe." I can tell you, a faith that is skimpy is not a faith that will help you endure in the bad times and keep you humble in the good times. It all comes back to Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. That's what it boils down to. That is our very center. When there appears darkness at all around you, or there is absurdity that you see in some suffering, always look to the one who is the light of the world, and the darkness will begin to fade into light. He comes to us in Scripture this morning to a poor blind man whose heart and mind were open to his dwelling. He comes often to us in the eyes of the poor, and he comes to us every day from the cross. I close with this story. It's an old story, but I think it's a good story. After Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, his casket was taken by train across the country. They don't do that anymore, but they used to do that. And when Lincoln's body was brought from Washington to Illinois, it went through Albany, and finally it was carried among people on the city streets. And on that journey, many people saw there a black lady who stood on the curb and lifted up her son above the crowd so that he could see Abraham Lincoln. And she said, "Sonny, look long and hard, because he died for you." Do you see? Do you really see? Praise be to God for eyes to see. Amen.